Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Now, can everyone hear me? I was on mute.
Okay, let me see here.
Apologize for any inconvenience, everyone. I'm trying to do this new thing with a live stream here on AM360 and also on Facebook, inshallah. Okay. All right, we're here. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. Right, can you hear me, Rashida?
I can hear you.
Okay, good.
All right, can you hear me, Michelle?
No echo. I can hear
pretty
you.
Good.
Well, I have an echo on my.
No echo. Pretty good.
Well, I have an echo. Anyway, let us go on and get started.
Let us go on and get started. Anyway, let us go on and get started.
For some reason, I'm having an echo.
I'm actually on two screens.
Right. Okay, give me just a moment. Right.
Give me just a moment.
All right, Rashida, I know you've been very patient with me.
I'm still on.
The screen here.
This is part of being live. It's real life.
All right.
Real life. That call.
Okay.
Yeah, remove this here.
Okay. All right, so I did mute one, so let me just.
There's two frames. That's how you wanted it. Okay.
No, I don't really want it like that. All right, so today we are going to be talking about making positive choices. And with making positive choices.
I can't hear you. Couldn't hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Stage.
We can't hear you.
Okay.
Couldn't hear you.
Okay. Let me see here. All right, we're going to take a quick station identification break. I think we're just going to go, just try to get, just go on regular, because I don't know what happened. I did not do this very well. We'll be right back, inshallah.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, internship, leadership development council, the think tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for supporting the CWSC AM360 annual Ramadan Telethon, which helps us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. And some of those operations are as follows: the American Muslim 360 Broadcasting Network, Speakers Bureau, Online National Resource Directory, Volunteer Human Resource Network, the Think Tank, College Scholarship Program, Teams, working together, such as with the Learning Lab, Intrafaith and Interfaith Collaborative, Internship and Leadership Development Programs, Ambassador Programs, and International Collaboratives. Please visit us online to see more of the intelligentsia and the annual report. For your mailing in your donation, you can send it to CWSC, Inc., Marina Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Make your check or money order payable to CWSC, Inc. Thank you, and stay tuned for more information on the Ramadan Telethon.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dapreeta Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab, here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum, and again, welcome to Making Positive Choices. I apologize for any inconvenience. I was my efforts doing the media, getting on Facebook and live stream, and StreamYard was not as successful as I thought it was going to be today. I needed a little bit more practice. So, again, I apologize for any inconvenience. Rashida is calling in now. Rashida, if you're on, press 1 to get in the queue, please. Press 1 to get in the queue. Here she is right here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you for being patient. I thank everyone for being patient this afternoon. We have those beans. We have our boo-boos. I'm going to have to get a little bit more perfection with this. So, again, I apologize. But we're so glad that you could be with us this afternoon. I apologize to you as well because you were on and I could see you, but it was just the echo that we had. That's where the problem was. So, inshallah, we'll be able to correct that for the next program that I have on Making Positive Choices. Now, Rashida comes to us today. She is an author. She is a professional speaker. She has done so many things. She's worked in the community. She's part of my, I guess I would say, extended family in a sense, because we've connected on so many levels. And through some of her difficulties, I have, alhamdulillah, I've been there to support her in any way that I could. So I brought her on today to talk a little bit about her journey. I think her journey is such a unique journey because through it all, and it's not a piece of cake, it's not a walk in the park or any of that. It is like being human, going through what you go through to get to the other side and still going through it and still praising Almighty God Allah, even through all of the difficulties that she's had to face. So I wanted to talk with her this afternoon to bring her story live and let you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in us as human beings. Even through our struggles, he still is there no matter what. And we know Allah has no time. So our time is what we look at. But Allah does things, and it's not. He has no time. He's infinite. So when we look at stuff and we think in our little worlds that it should be done like this, it should be done like, oh, Allah, you know, that's why we call on Allah. And Allah answers all of the believers' prayers, but he answers when he chooses to answer it and not when we feel that we should, because we're living on a time schedule, and Allah has no time schedule. So with that being said, I want to bring on Rashida and talk a little bit about what your journey has been like, Rashida. I know you are a survivor, multiple cancer survivor, and you're still battling cancer as we speak today. And I'm telling you, no matter what, the spirit that Allah has put in this sister to continue and just get up every morning and just continue. I just think it's phenomenal. And I know Rashida, when you're living through it, it doesn't seem like, oh my gosh, you know, how am I going to do? But Allah always makes a way for you the next day. So I'm going to turn it to you, Rashida. Tell us a little bit more about what you've done and your journey that you're going through now, inshallah.
Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, first and foremost, for having me as your guest. It is indeed a privilege and an honor to just be able to share a little bit about my journey. Alhamdulillah, I'm grateful that you feel it worthwhile for me to share, because as you said, it's just my little old journey in my little old world. So alhamdulillah, I pray Allah that it helps someone that's going through or someone that they know or love that's going through. And again, it is my personal journey. Not everyone's journey with cancer is alike. And that is a point that I often bring out. We can have the same diagnosis, but what we as individuals bring to the table, our cancer journey is as individual as we are. Our lifestyle before diagnosis, our age, if it's multiple times that we are experiencing a particular cancer, and any pre-existing chronic diseases or illnesses that we may have present. So oftentimes you hear some individuals say, well, you know, make a comparison, and we really cannot, and we really should not, you know, and they don't mean any harm, but I just need to make that point, because when someone else does, unfortunately, get that diagnosis, they start to compare themselves to someone else's. Be it good, bad, or indifferent. Well, so-and-so got it, and they had this, and they were okay. Then they may have it, and it doesn't work for them. They may have to have different modules and different layers of chemo and radiation and oral medication. So I definitely want to make the point, do not compare your journey to anyone else's. And it could be the exact same type of cancer, but there are levels There's degrees, there's grades to all of this. And we as individual, our DNA, our metabolism, we have to work with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endowed within us and not look at someone else's journey as far as a roadmap onto how our journey should be. So I hope that makes sense.
So what you're saying, Rashida, is that everybody, you know, people look at, they might compare themselves to somebody else's journey and say, well, this happened to me, or this wasn't so bad, or this was so horrible, or whatever the case may be. So everybody has their own journey to go through. Everybody has their own fight that they have to go to. And also, would you say that because of the faith that a person has, does it, having that faith and having that, I guess, that love for Almighty God, Allah, does that make a difference? I know it does, but how has it made a difference to you and your life and what you've been going through?
Yes, absolutely. I often think to myself, those who are not God conscious or God believing, I can't imagine how they endure such trials and tests, such as a devastating illness. I can't fathom it because, alhamdulillah, I've always had faith. Now, mind you, my faith has increased, as should all of ours. If I still had the same level of faith that I had at in my teens and in my 20s, then I'm stagnant. I'm not growing in this deen, in my faith. But to not have any faith at all is unimaginable when trials and struggles and challenges hit us. I can't fathom. So having faith and implementing that faith and increasing that faith, paramount to getting through and growing through, especially such a diagnosis of cancer, which oftentimes we associate with being fatal. I don't know how else to put that. You know, oftentimes when we hear that, we immediately equate it with death. Now, and to be honest, I have had that concern and or fear, if we shall call it that, because we don't know what the outcome is going to be. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. So in not knowing, we have to rely on a higher source, and we should rely on the almighty divine higher source that knows everything, that's in charge of everything, over what the doctors are saying, in charge of just the universe and us as part of his creation. So that is paramount. That faith, without it, you will crumble. You will crumble. And so as I've gone through my different cancer journeys, I have increased, as I said, my faith, my level of understanding, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, all thanks to Allah. Because it was necessary, you know, because each level, as the saying says, brings a new devil. So we have to have the weaponry to face that. And you start to wonder, well, you know, wait a minute, again? When it's multiple times, you go, well, whoa, Allah, like, how many times do I have to go through this? You know, what message am I supposed to be getting? And the long and short of it, you know, and not to oversimplify, because believe you me, it is a process, but the long and short of it is increase in faith, period, point blank. It gets very dark. It gets very overwhelming. And that human part of us, it feels that, because we are human. We breathe and we bleed. We cannot always attain that, the spiritual level consistently, because that's part of being human. We're going to go through it. We're going to feel it. We're going to taste it. We're going to feel as though, oh, I can't get through another day or another minute. But where our faith, or let me speak for me, where my faith comes in at is that I compare it, my analogy is like to physical fitness. I was a physical fitness trainer many, many years ago. And it's something that's called muscle memory, right? So we have to develop our spiritual muscles. So when we are going through and growing through, that the faith that we have, we can tap into that. And that spiritual muscle memory will allow us to rise back up. No matter how far we fall, once we tap into it, those spiritual muscles kick in. But we have to first lay that foundation. That foundation is placing faith in Almighty God Allah and then building upon that. And so when we do fall short, as we will do as human beings, those spiritual muscles will kick in and allow us to stand again, to breathe through it again, to gain some insight, to get through that next moment, and sometimes that next second. And this is all part of the journey.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking too, Rashida, you know, you just made me think about this poem I wrote about the reservoir. You know, it's like you reach, you know, you have a reservoir. Once you lay that foundation and you have that faith, and you keep building on that foundation. And then it's like you have a reserve. You know, it's like putting money in the bank. And the money is in the bank. And you can go and withdraw out a little bit here and a little bit there. But you still have it in there. And that's the same, you know, that analogy is like the same to me. It's like you have a reservoir, and you constantly pour into that faith that you have. And you're asking Allah to help you, and you have that set up. And when you are at your lowest moment, and you can help yourself to rise back, go into that reserve, and, you know, and pray to Allah and cry to Allah, because Allah wants us to ask for forgiveness, to ask for help. Allah wants us to. Some people are like, oh, well, no, I'm not going to go. Somebody had told me one time that this is not God's problem. I did this. Oh, how dare you? You know, because God wants us to come to him because he is our Lord, and he wants us to come to him. So if we back up and don't want to do that, then how are you going to get through that and have that spiritual connection? And that's what, you know, you're saying. And Shaitan will always try to come up. And I'm pretty sure that's happened to all of us, where he comes up and whispers in your ear. But Shaitan only whispers. It's up to you to follow through what he says. So you have to be aware of that voice that Shaitan whispers. That's why he whispers, because he wants you to disavow your relationship with your Lord, or to leave that, you know, relationship that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a very good thing there. Now, let's before we go to another break here, let's talk a little bit about the you know, what happened when you had these diagnoses, when you had your first diagnosis, and how did you go from that? Like you said, after a while, you said, oh, Allah, you know, then you had one, and you're thinking you're okay. You know I've had the bout with the one, and it still is kind of like, ooh, for me. So how do you get through the, when you got the first diagnosis, got the second diagnosis, and then here you are now battling that third diagnosis? You know, let's talk a little bit about that. But before, like, I want you to kind of get it formulated in your mind. I'm going to take a short break real quick, and then we're going to come back and talk about those feelings and how you felt when each time it came, and how your faith strengthened, or how it tests your faith. So we're going to I'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. We're talking to Rashida Adeen. She is a multi-cancer survivor. She is, we're talking about how her faith comes in to having that and then keeping that faith and always know that Allah is there for that support. So don't touch that dial. We'll be right back, inshallah. Alrighty then, it's not.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation. So please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry. The deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, because there is no God but the one God.
All right, welcome back to Making Positive Choices. I am your host, Latifa A. Hameen. And I have my special guest here, Rashida Adeen. All right, Rashida, I'm going to turn that back over to you. Before the break, we wanted to know more about how you have survived each of your diagnoses of cancer there. All right, turn it over to you, Rashida.
Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah. Well, my first diagnosis, it came sort of erroneously through another situation. And what I mean by that is I was residing in Texas, in Dallas at the time. And I was on my way to work. And I was hit by an 18-wheeler tractor. I was in a Toyota Tercel. Everyone knows how small that is. And the tractor trailer was trying to beat the left-hand turn signal. So when he tried to beat it, it had actually passed. So I had the green light to go. But, you know, they're so long, and you can't really whip a tractor trailer. Even though you can go fast, you still got a lot of metal that's coming there. So he ran into me on the driver's side. On the driver's side, I was airborne to an embankment. I still get chills when I share this story, because only but Allah that I'm still here to share this story. I was airborne in that Toyota Tercel onto an embankment. And I often wonder, what did the people, the cars that was behind me witnessing this, to see this small vehicle go up in the air and wonder where it was going to land? Was it going to land on them? Was it, you know, was I going to be splattered on the pavement, you know? And I remember vividly thinking, and even though it's a short span, when they say your life flashes before you, because I was fully aware that I was up in the air in this vehicle. And all I said, oh, Allah, please don't make me suffer when it comes down. Because in my mind, in my mind, I felt this was the end, because it's no way I'm up in the air in a vehicle. I'm going to come down and I'm going to survive. But oh, Allah, whew, Allah is so merciful. I did, of course, I'm here. But through that, I had eternal bleeding and injuries and what have you. And they found on through the ultrasounds and what have you that they put me through, I had a tumor on my kidney. And they immediately said to me, that is not from the accident. And I'm like, okay, so what are you saying? What is this? They said, we need to, you know, have further tests because you have a growth on your kidney that's clearly not from there. So they did the test, and this was all, and within 2 weeks, honestly, I was being rolled into surgery after being hit, still bruised and injured from the accident. They immediately started doing the test. Then they immediately said, okay, his biopsy. He went through his procedures, and it turned out to be cancer on my kidney, a cancer tumor. So my mind was boggled, and I'm thinking, oh, Allah, hold up. Again, you go, what? You nearly took my life. Okay, I'm here, but now you're telling me I have cancer. I'm confused, Allah. Help me. Now, to be honest, my faith right then was very shattered because I kept thinking, oh, Allah, you could have just let me go. This was my personal thinking, you know, as a human being. Why did you allow me to live to have to face something like this? And it took me a minute. It took me a minute, to be perfectly honest, because I'm in pain. I'm traumatized from the accident. To learn that I was very fragile spiritually and very vulnerable spiritually. But again, the faith that I did have, what they said, that of a mustard seed, what I had at that point, I knew if I did not water that, I was going to die. Because the fear of having that diagnosis after surviving a life-threatening accident was eating me alive as it was. So I had to call on my higher source. I had to pray to Allah. I had to beg and cry literally to Allah to give me the strength to survive, to endure, and to get through and grow through this. And that began where I was aware faith is something that we don't just stay at a certain level. Because that's not real life. Life is going to be lifing, as they say. And we have to grow spiritually as things occur. You know, Allah's Qadr, his divine destiny for us and all of his creation, we know not what that is. But we do have to, as you say, we have to call on Allah and beg him for his forgiveness, his mercy, his salvation, because without that, we don't stand a chance. And another important element, I had a great support system at that time. I had, my husband at that time was absolutely wonderful. I mean, the care that he showed me, from the surgery and what have you, was phenomenal. And I thank Allah much to this day for him. My mother came in from, alhamdulillah, I must give credit where credit is due. My mother flew in from Jersey to Texas to take care of me. And my eldest daughter, Aisha, flew in. They split the time. So, and then my youngest daughter, who was living with us, she was there, and they all just rallied around me to make sure that I was cared for. And that is very, very important. When you go through any kind, it's very important. You need someone, whether it's blood relations or a spiritual bond and relation. You have to have a support system. So during that time, my support system was very strong, as I said, and I thank Allah to this day for each and every one of them, what they how they sold into me and flew down there, and my eldest daughter, you know, had taken off from work and stayed a week, and my mother, she was retired, so, you know, she came and she stayed, but like I said, my husband on a day-to-day at that time, my former husband, he was fantastic. He was fantastic. May Allah, Jazakallah Khairan. I mean, I couldn't have asked for any better care, honestly. I couldn't. And so, alhamdulillah. So, again, my faith, and that allowed me to work on my faith, to be honest, because I had that love, you know, because I was devastated. The accident and cancer, so I was traumatized, but the love that was surrounding me allowed me to reflect and pause and say, okay, you got to build those spiritual muscles. You got to work on you while they are working to support you, you know, and your needs and everything. And that's where that journey, that's when I realized we can't stay at the same level spiritually. Because if we do, we're not growing. We're not growing. That's stagnation.
Right. That's right.
And Allah is inherent. He wants us to grow in faith, not just have a little bit and say, oh, I got a little faith, so I'm good. Let me stay here, Allah, and I know I'm going to be good. That's not how it works.
That's true. Because if you have a little faith, what happens if something comes along, it's going to knock that out. But you got
that part right there. That's right.
Build that faith up. And that helped you to see, well, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is working through my family, and these people are giving me the support. And you mentioned something about that support. You have to have that support because that helps to get you through.
Absolutely.
You know, Allah brings you the people that you need in your life. And you have to constantly ask Allah, bring me, you know, give me what I need to make it through this or to get to the other side of this. And it seems as though you have that kind of faith where sometimes you don't realize you have it, and then the trauma behind it, because that trauma is very taxing on your body, very taxing on your body and your mind. So having that along with all the other things, you know, alhamdulillah, you came through that. So that was in remission. And so what happened next? That, you know, of course, that went into remission. And what was the next cancer that you had?
Yes. Exactly. And let me just say, they initially told me that they thought the cancer tumor was small enough to just extrapolate it by itself. But, of course, you know how we sign paperwork. There's more, a situation is different. You get permission for them to do what they need to do. So I was thinking I was going to wake up with my kidney. However, it was so large, they couldn't extrapolate it from my kidney, so they had to remove my kidney. So that was another hit. And blow. So I have one. They had to take my kidney. So I was like dealing with a plethora of things. And I'm like, whoa, now I got one kidney. What is going on? So, yes. And then at that particular time, because renal cell carcinoma, kidney cancer, is kind of like a silent killer in the sense that my cancer surgeon said to me, by the time I would have felt symptoms, it would have been too late, because it's that aggressive, but the symptoms don't manifest until you're like, it's too late. So he says basically the accident, and this is what also affirmed my faith too when I was going, woe is me, why the car accident and all of that. I mean, the tractor trailer nearly taking my life. Because had it not been for that accident, I would not have had a fighting chance to survive the kidney cancer. He told me that himself, because, and then even though he shared that with me that human brain, and I thought to myself, well, but Allah, did it have to be that bad? Couldn't it just been like a little fender bender? And then, you know, when I say it out loud again, it sounds silly, then it just was a light bulb moment. It said, no, girl, because a fender bender wouldn't have found out that you wouldn't have had to go for internal bleeding and so forth and so on, and they wouldn't have found it, you know. So it was like Allah connects the dots for me that what I thought was so horrible, and it was a saving grace. It was a saving grace and mercy, because had I not, by the time I had symptoms, it would have been too late, because I was already at stage three. So, yes. Mm. So he explained to me that, and the way that when you get cancers and starts in the organs, you know, whether it's bladder, kidney, any of those things, pancreas, that a lot of times the cancer cells, even though it appears that he never used cure, he says, like you said, remission, right, that they lay dormant. Some people's system, and I learned I'm one of them, that the cancer cells, they lay dormant and they mutate to other areas. So my next cancer was intestinal. And that, when I was diagnosed with that, that made sense. I'm like, well, there we go. It's in that same region, right? So that took place. But again, I was already building my spiritual muscles. But again, I don't want to sound as though I was hit put parade, like, okay, oh, you got this, girl. Oh, no, no, no. I was still devastated. The air was blocked, you know, knocked out of me. But I had increased and added layers to my faith. It wasn't as like the first experience. And so I was able to just keep building on that and crying, begging, and like, okay, here we go again. And Allah brought me through that. Then I had a good little pause. So I thought, okay, twice and done. And then it became the breast cancer. So I'm like, wow, now it's done, went out the whole other region now. Like, so again, I have a I have a system whereby apparently I have some abnormal cells that it is just inherent to my particular body. And they lay dormant, and whenever they just want to rear their ugly head, they show up in places you would think not, and you go like, okay, you're back again? Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. And now currently with the breast cancer, and it had gone, it went to my lymph nodes, and now also in my back and spine, and I'm dealing with the ramifications of that. But I'm on the cane. I always refer to my cane as Mr. Cane. As anyone who follows my post, me and Mr. Cane, we're the couple. Okay. So
Hey, Rashida, tell them about what I said when I saw there was some people that were bothering you. You remember that?
Yeah, was it in reference to Mr. Kane, though?
Yeah. You remember when I thought that was those, there were some guys that was bothering you when you were giving them, you had given them names, and you just laughed so much about that, because I said, well, do I have to come down there? You remember that?
I do. I was speaking metaphorically, you know, about Mr. Kane, and then I was on a walker, and Mr. Walker, and how they were, you know, getting on my nerves, and they were always, that's what it was. I'm like, they always following me, and, you know, and think I got to depend on them, and you took it literally didn't come in, you immediately, being my sister, called me and said, girl, what's going on? Who is this? Who are these men, these brothers are following you? And it was so funny, but so loving. Yes, it was hilarious. It was hilarious, but you in two form. Yes. You like, do I have to come up there and hear you all the way in Texas? I'm like, no. You like, I just read your post, sis. Mr. Kane and Mr. Walker. Who are these men?
That's
when you know, yeah, that's your sister. Indeed. Not just in that's your sister, that's your family, because you were ready. You were locked and loaded, like, okay, I got to go up there. Ain't nobody else coming to my sister's aid with Mr. Kane and Mr. Walker bothering her?
That was just too funny when you told me about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we never know. But that just shows you that sometimes, you know, you have those kind of support systems that you need. You know, people,
absolutely,
sometimes when you go to someone that's near and dear to you, you said, okay, you need me to come? And you just,
yes,
you know, you tell everybody, okay, got to go, got to roll,
yes,
got to go,
that's
and
it,
see about my brother or my sister. And that's what,
that's
those are the kind of people that are lost upon what the Isle sends to you when you are a lost is in the ground that the believers will eventually win through. So we know no matter what we're going through, that Allah got us in the end. It may not be what we want and how we want it and when we want, but Allah got us because he told us that if you are a believer, if you believe and you serve Allah, he has you. He has you. So we have to believe in that no matter what. We got to go through it. Because, you know, other people say, why are you still doing this? Like Job, and they was like, won't you curse your God and won't you do this and won't you do that? Why are you still serving him? You know, but he knew Allah's promise. And so he was waiting on Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his promise. And that's what we have to do in this life because this is a test. This life is a test for us. And that's what it is. And we have to win this test to get over to the hereafter, inshallah.
Inshallah.
All right, Sister Rashida, I know we want to finish up here. We're running, we've got about 20 minutes. I wanted to open up to the listening audience. Does anyone have any questions or comments or concerns for Rashida? I think that was so honorable for her to come on today and to let us know what is going on and just sharing her story, sharing her journey. I just think it takes a lot of vulnerability to do that. So we're so thankful that you're able to do that today, Rashida, in spite of all that's going on with you and even the trauma that you've experienced with that. So we're just so thankful, and we don't want to let you know that that doesn't go unnoticed. So, If there's anyone that has any questions or comments or concerns, press 1 to get in the queue. We'd love to hear from you. Even if it's words of encouragement, we'd like to hear from you, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Right now, we do not have anyone. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, we have Sister Martha, 727741. Assalamu alaikum, Martha.
Alaikum. Assalam. I'm going through that, and it's like reading a book, so you know it's somebody's life. Greetings of peace to everyone. Martha,
yes.
Nyla calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. My voice has changed because I, you know, you hear the nasally, but that's nothing. And I thought about, as you were talking, Rashida, God, oh, praise be to Allah. As you were speaking, I can only, you know, you don't compare. But you do compare, unfortunately. I mean, I guess Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us to be able to say, wow. And I thought what I went through, but the wings is what I'm going to say. The angels are whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends at that moment to lift us up and place us in a holding position. And nobody sees it happening. Nobody sees it around you. I won't even began to come, you know, say what my experiences have been, nothing to my bodily harm, but just the effect of family and matters that you go through with family members.
Of course, hearing your story
is definitely a blessing to hear. And I know that everyone who's listening, inshallah, God willing, and will listen later. This is archived. Will be archived. So thank Allah for your sharing it and overall the faith. And this is CWSC, one of its initiatives for the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning is faith and family, and then it moves us on into some directives. But definitely faith and family has to be at the top. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you for your comment. We appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That is so wonderful.
Right. Yeah, the faith and family, because with this particular, while we're waiting, inshallah, for someone to queue in, with this particular cancer, again, my faith, this third battle, my family, my sister, my brother, and my mother, who is now gravely ill, but I thank Allah so much for their love and their care. It was a repeat of the first time. They sewed into me and made sure I had everything. My sister, I didn't want for anything. If my sister Sakina knew I needed a Band-Aid, I was going to have a whole box of them by Amazon by that next day. And that's no exaggeration. And that's how she is to this day. Alhamdulillah. And my brother,
he's a comedian. Yes, sister. We have another caller. I'm going to get the caller. Hold that thought. We have another caller. 636-980. As-salamu alaykum, Imam Kareem.
Wa alaykum as-salam, Latifa, and to your wonderful guest, Sister Rashida. Rashida, the rightly guided. Praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, you know, in the Christian faith, there are people that give testimonials. And the people that hear those, it increases, they benefit. So I'm grateful to hear you share with us the faith that you had to rely on and your struggles, and praise be to Allah, you are here with us and you're adding value to our faith. I think I would appreciate it if more of us would, you know, life hasn't been a bed of roses, you know, if we would come and share the troubles and the circumstances and situations that Allah has guided us through that is so valuable, and it is rewarding for me personally to hear your testimony concerning cancer. I won't say any more. I'll stop right there. Thank you, the rightly guided Rashi.
Thank you for your comment.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, so many people that are there. You know, sometimes you don't know the people that you have that really pray for you, that is in your corner. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you don't know that. Because when you're in it and you're going through it and you're there in the moment, you don't realize. You and I talked about mercy, you know. We talked about mercy and how Allah, even those little things that he gives you, the ability to be able to get up in the morning, that's a mercy.
Yes.
You know, everybody's not able to walk. Everybody's not able to get up out of their bed. And so those little things, sometimes we take for granted.
Yes.
Some of those little things we take for granted. And Allah, you don't know how much Allah is integrated into our lives. You know, we say, oh, yeah, I don't have this and that, but, you know, you can walk. You can talk. You can get up. You're in pain, but you can still, you know, go from point A to point B. So little things that we take for granted, and you know, and even sharing your story and how you've had to overcome all of this and the trauma, and you know that Allah brought
those people in your lives that you needed. That's a mercy. So we, you know, so we think about those things, and you know, we got to go back and, you know, just thanking Allah for seeing another day. You know, today's not promised to us. Because when we go to sleep, you know, that's that unconscious state. So Allah brings us back. Some he doesn't bring back. So that's the alhamdulillah every morning he brings us back. So, you know, that's such a blessing. So, and I know, Rashida, that you're still living with the breast cancer and how everything has happened. And tell us a little bit more about that, because I know that even in the midst of all of that, I guess they're looking at you when you go to these doctor's appointments and they're looking at you and they're like, well, you know, this is happening, and I'm pretty sure you're looking at them. And they're like, well, why isn't this woman on the floor hollering and screaming or you know what I'm saying, or whatever the case may be. And you're like, okay, all right, let me think about this. Let me, you know, this is happening. Something else coming on top of this that's coming on top of that. And you still getting up, going to do what you need to do. So tell us more about that journey that you're going on right as we speak, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Well, I feel as though the previous cancer experiences where my faith has, you know, gradually and consistently increased allows me to be more discerning. And this third time around, when they say that, you know, metastasizing to back and bones, I didn't shoot so far out there with the first nor the second. You know, it just allows you to rein yourself in quicker because you built those spiritual muscles. You got those, you know, that those spiritual muscle memory to start to say, okay, let me, you know, get on my square here. Let me, you know, and do my research and advocate for myself. They immediately wanted to do surgery, and I said, no, we're going to pump the brakes on that, you know. And, you know, and they're still pushing it because it's very, my mobility is very limited, and it's a lot of pain daily. You know, even with walking on the cane, I've been on the walker and then the cane, and they really want me to go back on the walk, and I'm like, no, I'm going to stick with the cane, you know, for now. I know it's there if need be. And, you know, then they want to give you all of these narcotics. And I said to them, no, you know, I'm not going to rely on that. I didn't get to be this mature age, you know, of 70 and become an addict to painkillers. So not going to do that route. Again, I know it's there. If I can't get through it, I have bottles and bottles of pills, but that's not going to be my go-to to get through the day. So it allows me to have a little bit more introspection on myself and on my faith and just do research and know I have to bite the bullet, because as the brother said, nobody promised this life to be, you know, a bed of roses. So, you know, this is my cotter. This is what Allah has, you know, decreed for me to go through and grow through. How can I best do that? And so, and again, I don't want any of the listeners to think that, you know, I'm this, you know, Pollyanna, you know, pie in the sky with this. No, 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 no. It's often at night I have to release the physical tears because I'm so full, that human part of me, it's so full and so overwhelmed, I have to let the tears flow as I'm praying or I'm making du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's cleansing as well. To hold that in would be adding more toxicity to my system. So I'm graceful. I give myself grace to allow myself to just let the tears flow, you know, hug and hold on to that pillow and flip it to the other side, and, you know, and pray that Allah surround me with the angels to get me through the night. So these are just, things that I just have to adapt and adopt to just get through the day or the night and sometimes through the hour, you know. But, again, making sure you have positive energy and people and spirits around you like you, my sister. I just need them to know Latifah for me, everyone, is my sister from another mister. We're not just Muslim sisters. This is my sister, and I thank Allah so much for her. She adds strength to my strength. She inspires me. She gives me courage. And the third party to the three of us is Aisha Nasir. She is one as well. Those two sisters, I have to give credit to them and thank Allah for them because they're what I say, like my bookends. They keep me together when I'm falling apart. Both of them are pushing on either side of me to keep me intact. And I thank you both so much for your love, for your love, for your sisterhood, that for our motto and our mantra, one for all, one and all for one. And that's a blessing from Allah, from my sister, my mother, my brother, as I was mentioning, the comedian. He, laughter is therapeutic. And when I was going through the initial chemo and radiation and what have you, my brother, Tariq, it will make you laugh at things that you don't think you should be laughing at. But thank Allah for his humor. You know, he made me laugh at times at myself, you know, and that is a good release, you know, because laughter is definitely therapeutic. So just having certain individuals that are able to sow into you on whatever level that they can and whatever level they choose to, because there are some that do not, and it's like you don't even exist. But for those who choose to, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful to Allah for each and every one of you because it infuses me to continue to fight the good fight. It truly, truly does. And all of us need to have that nurturing for in from individuals, from our communities, and what have you, because we were not here to live in isolation alone. We need each other, and we should be a help unto each other.
That's right, sis. That is so true. That is so true. You said a mouthful of that. We need each other. We're a community. Because, you know, we have to know that without a community, we're nothing. It has to be a community effort. And that's the key to our survival is our community and coming together. And, you know, because no man is by themselves. No man is an island. Allah put us together so we can serve humanity. And for us to be as a family and a community. So, and that's what we do here at AM 360 and CWSC. We're family, you know, we're a community. And we pull together when we need to pull together, and we do what we need to do to keep it moving. And we thank Allah, and I thank Allah for my my family here as well, my AM 360 and CWSC family. CWSC family here. So inshallah. And you, Rashida, you're inspiration. You tell me I'm inspiration. You're inspiration to me and what you go through and then just having that. Because not, it's always, you always, every time I'm around you, it's always, you know, mashallah, thank you, Allah. You know, you always put Allah out front. That's what I always hear from you, you know. I always hear that from you, no matter what the situation is, you know, because you don't want anybody like, oh, woe is me, and you'll let them know. I'm not telling you this for you to feel sorry for. I'm telling you because I want to share my journey. And if people know, even in sharing that, you always put Almighty God Allah out front. And that gives people courage. That gives them incentive to say, well, she can do this. And she's going through this, and she can still praise God. That's alhamdulillah. Because Aisha was saying too. Aisha said, "I, you know," she said, "what I'm going through is nothing comparable to what Rashida's going through it." And it makes you think, "Well, why am I here to complain
when I got, you know, this little thing happened to me, and this sister is fighting things on a continuous basis every day, and my stuff, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm about to fall apart. So you have to think about that and be thankful to Allah, because sometimes we forget our blessings that Allah has bestowed upon us, because we be so wrapped up into our own drama. So, you know, thank you for sharing that, to help people, other people see, even in the midst of everything that you're going through, it's always, you know, inshallah, mashallah, you know, even getting up, reading like we did during Ramadan. We got all cut up together. And I know Rashida wasn't feeling well when she got up, but she to stop her. She was, you know, she suck it up and she'd get in there and do what she had to do. So thank you so much, sister, for all the encouragement that you give to me, because it helps to keep me going. Whenever I'm feeling some kind of way, I think about you and what you're going through, and I straighten it on up, and I'm like, okay, you know, sister's doing this, and she's still praising you, Almighty God, Allah. So I have to continue to do that as well. So thank you so much for all that you give to me as well. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
And I want you to give us some words of wisdom before we, you know, get off the air. You know, take 5 minutes or so. Just give us some words of wisdom, because I know you got so much to share. And I know that you're still going through some things, and we're asking that you all continue to send your du'as up for my sister, Rashida. She can definitely use your du'as, because, you know, she's still going through. And I know the doctors are amazed that you just keep going. And they're like, really? This woman should have been gone, you know. She's still up here, and she's still going, and she's here she comes, you know. That ain't you. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah showing you, this is what I can do. This is my servant. Yeah. This is what I'm putting before you. I'm telling you, I'm God here. Y'all not God. I am. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And that is so the truth. It is not of me myself. It is truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I let my oncologist know that. I let, even when I go to oncology, other patients will say, you know, through conversation, have learned that this was not my first battle. And they kind of looked at awe. How are you going through this? And I said, because it's not of me myself. It is God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keeps me going. You know, if I had that kind of control, I wouldn't have all of this and wouldn't have gone through all of this in the first place. So I don't have that power or control, but He is allowing and blessing me to go through and grow through. And as far as any suggestions I would give as far as how to deal with any kind of trauma or devastating, life-threatening illnesses, faith over fear, faith over fear. And that's something we got to water and pour into that faith, because that fear keeps rising with each experience. It's going to rise, but we have to rise even further over it with faith. And that, again, goes back to what I'm repeatedly saying. We have to build layer on top of layer on top of layer each time we are challenged. And so it can surpass the fear, and it can strengthen our faith. And then having sincere, well-intended, loving support people around you that are sowing into you, praying for you, and loving on you and encouraging you. That is equally as important, because, again, as we both mentioned, we are not here we're not an island to live alone. We need human interaction. We need to have nurturing and be able to give nurturing. You know, that's part of our evolving as a human being and spiritually. So that is that is also equally as important. So we, it's certain elements that we need to make sure, but the that are in alignment. But faith is at the very top. Then the family, whatever your choice of family is, it may not always be blood relatives. And I'm a repeat. It may not always be blood relatives. Your family is who and what your family is. So you need that family support, that community support. So faith and family, and that faith has to supersede that fear. And it is a process. Please believe me, dear believers and listeners, it is not simplistic. And you will have days where you fall to the bottom of the barrel with that. But once you build that strong foundation, you will be able to stand upon it and rise back up. And you won't stay there. You may pause, but you won't stay there or lay there. Inshallah.
Wow. Very powerful, sister. Very, very powerful. Thank you for sharing those words of wisdom. We appreciate that so much, so much. So, that being said, we are going to conclude here with making positive choices with our sister Rashida Edeen. If there's not any other questions or comments, press 1 if you have any questions or comments. If not, we are going to conclude. We'll be staying on the line because what's coming up next is Host Highlight, and we have Sister Cheryl Sadak and Imam Yusuf Ramadan, and Brother Fleming El-Amin will be the host here. So just hold on and stay with us. We appreciate that. And we're going to play a little music, and then we'll come back in about 10 minutes, inshallah. But we have a caller, 616-204. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on Making Positive Choices.
Alhamdulillah. I'm calling from East Cleveland, Ohio. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Well, I just wanted to just give you some encouragement. My sister, I had a transplant, liver transplant, and it was very, very severe also. But I was told, you know, it's a haram, you know, you can't get other organs from other people. And but I thought different, because there were so many things that I had been doing, and so many things that I wanted to do, and I had so many good Muslims around me who were there for me there at Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit. But what I wanted to say is this, is that I write poetry, and I've been inspired to write poetry to not only uplift me, but to uplift others. And at the same time, when I had the transplant, my doctors, I was so positive in reference to me and my outcome. And like Imam Kareem said, you know, the testimony, the testimonies are greatly helpful. Testimonies of others. And they brought people in to me giving testimonies and telling me, well, you're not going to be over 5 years. And this was 2013. But they were saying these things to me. But I had, you know, Allah had other plans for me, and I believe in Allah. I believe in Allah. But what I'm saying is that the way you are so inspired, having that sister around you, you know, I have people around me like her, you know, and like the sister, like her, you know, encouraging me. And every time you sound like you winked or blinked, she was right there for you. That's, these are the saving forces. These are the saving forces. I wrote a poem called "The Cure Is in Caring," and a lot of times when I go to my doctor, he let me talk to the interns because of what I went through and how I struggled. I lost the use of the whole right side of my body. I lost it. I was in rehab for over three months. But the attitude that I had, you know, I was helping other people. You know, they told me they didn't want me in the hallway. You know, but early in the morning I'd be up in the rehab. I'd be in the gym working out. And but I'm just saying, encouraging others. And your testimony, what you just said, your testimony really, really lifted me up. Your testimony will be a help for all the people. When you go into the doctors, Stop and talk to the people. Tell them what you went through, but let them know the strength and the courage that you have and the power that you have from Almighty God, Allah. Yes, thank you so much. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Wa alaykum as-salam.
That was powerful. Thank
yes.
you, brother. Ooh, that was powerful. Alhamdulillah. See, Rashida, Allah just, you know, you just never know what you're going to get, because I always tell you, Allah bring people to show you. You'd be like, oh, I'm just going through this. But you don't know the people that you touch. You don't know the lives that you are, that you inspire. And that's what I was trying to tell you. You never know the lives that you inspire, because all that you're going through is like, wow, I'm caught up in this. But the lives, you know, just like they gave you that award, you said, I don't think I deserve it. I'm just sharing my journey.
Yes.
But your journey is so powerful.
Yes.
And it's so powerful.
Yes.
And it's so uplifting that, you know,
yes.
that's a blessing.
That's a blessing. And shout out to Sister Layla Muhammad, Imam Warak Mubin Muhammad's daughter, who awarded me for activism with sharing my journey at an award ceremony. Here, I think it was the beginning of March, I believe, and it was so beautiful.
Yeah,
Sister Khalila Ali Comanche was there, and I actually sat next to her the whole entire night. But it was very humbling, and I thank Sister Layla for deeming me to be one of the recipients. There were several sisters in different categories, but I didn't feel worthy, and I said, all I do is share my story on social media and different platforms, but it was very humbling to get that kind of acknowledgement, very humbling, and I'm very grateful and thankful to Allah for her as well for wanting to give me that acknowledgement amongst so many other phenomenal sisters who are doing great works in the community in different categories. So alhamdulillah.
Allah, you never know, sister, you never know. Sometimes you think things go unnoticed, but Allah is spreading that word throughout the world. You just never know who is sharing what. You know, even when I do my book sometimes, I have people say, well, you know, I was reading this book, and it happened to be my book. So it's just, you never know the lives that you may touch out here. So just keep doing what you're doing. Keep spreading the word. Keep letting people know how wonderful this God is that we serve. And you never know, Allah will help you to reach heights that you never thought you could reach. So alhamdulillah, you know, and again, thank you for sharing all that you've shared with us today. I know it wasn't easy for you, because when you have to relive stuff, it's like, And so just reliving it and telling it and having the strength. We feel the strength in your words and the courage in your heart, sister. So keep doing what you're doing. And may Allah continue to bless you on this journey we call life. Love you to wherever. I would love you, sis. All right. Imam Kareem, he has his hand is up. As-salamu alaykum, brother Imam Kareem.
Yes, wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. You know, Almighty God has said that he has supplied all of his creatures with its needs. He says that he is the one that have given mankind laughter and tears and tears. And thank God for your brother.
Yes.
That's a comedian. I'm the comedian in my family.
It's so needed. It really is needed.
We should not suppress tears. It is a benefit for us.
It
helps us heal. It releases tension and stress. When I speak with African American men, I try to establish that principle. It's not unmanly to cry. It is human to feel something, to be sensitive,
that's right,
and to cry. And when they
they suppress all of that. That's somewhat of the anger and the rage that we see that comes from them under certain situations and circumstances. So I'm grateful that you utilize the gifts that Allah gave you, laughter and tears. I'll stop right there, my sister. May Allah continue to bless you, Anna.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Yes, yes.
Thank you, Brother Imam. We appreciate you.
I definitely appreciate that.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Imam. I know, Fleming, I'm going to open up your mic. I know you're waiting to come in, but did you have a comment that you wanted to say, Fleming? Assalamu alaikum. Or did you want to, are you just waiting for me to?
Well, I just want to thank the presenters for such an inspiring and motivating message to all of us. She's just on the job of moving humanity forward, one soul at a time. Thank you very much.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
Mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. And I'll get right back to you, Fleming. All right. Thank you. All right, Rashida, thank you again. We're going to transition, alhamdulillah, to the next program here with your host, Fleming El-Amin, and to do the host highlights, inshallah. All right, Sister Rashida, inshallah, we will be in contact, and may Allah, like I said, continue to bless you, and you're doing such a wonderful job. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Mashallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Welcome to my wa barakatuh. All right. Okay. All right. We are going to transition here to our next program. I don't know if we have, if I know Fleming's here, if Cheryl Sadek is here, plus one to get in the queue. If you're there, if not, I'm going to go to station identification break, and then I'm going to turn it over to Brother Fleming Elamy. Thank you. Appreciate you all being here. We could not have done this without our listening audience. Thank you. Inshallah. Sorry about that, you guys. Ooh. All right. I'm about to get on here. Trying to get a PSA here, trying to get a good one.
Over the last few weeks, there's been a lot of comments about race, racism, and extremism, and a moral standard, till finally the question was asked, where does it stop? It stops right now, right here, on American Muslim 360. Sister Debbie?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Debbie from Silver Spring, Maryland. Please donate. American Muslim 360 and the community-wide Shura Conference are so important to me personally as a non-Muslim. This is, oh boy, I'm getting emotional. This is so important to people like myself. That's why I've donated $100, even though I'm on Social Security. From the last telethon, I put $10. I actually put the extra cent in there, $10 a month. It has just transformed me and my perceptions of things, and it can do this for lots of non-Muslims. We need you all. We need you all so badly. We have been living in such ivory towers, and that pun is intended. We don't even know it. So we've got to keep this movement going. We've got to make it work. It's what the country needs. It's what the country, I think it's what Allah wants to have this country have. So please donate. I know even if it's just a dollar or something, just any little bit. Let me say one other thing. This telethon is so important to me that I spent Christmas Eve with American Muslim 360, which I usually would spend activities at the church. So just so you all know how important I think this is for non-Muslims and for Christians, that's my proof right there. Keep it going, people. Love you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Ameen. We love you, Sister Debbie. Ameen.
Sometimes we can't afford not to give. Keep American Muslim 360 the place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
And welcome back. We are going to turn it over to Fleming Elamine for host highlights. But I just wanted to say that I played that for the telethon. We have an ongoing telethon, so any time that you feel that you want to donate to our cause here at CWSC and AM 360, feel free to go to cwsc.us and click on that blue donate button and donate any amount that you can to help us as we continue our journey, our intelligence, and serving the outer community, inshallah. Thank you so, so much. I'm turning it over to Fleming Elamine. Assalamu alaikum, Fleming.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Latifa. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. If you're one of our hosts on the air yet, it's Sister Cheryl or Brother Imam.
I just sent them an email. Imam Yusuf, if you're on, press 1 to get in the queue. I don't see either one. I sent them an email or text, and I don't see either one. Well, I'll just try to send them another text.
All right. I have the bio, so we can get started, and inshallah they will join us as we go forward.
Okay.
Let me thank the listening audience for being with us this evening. We try to spotlight two hosts each month just to show them a little bit more respect and to give you a chance to get to know the mind behind the voice on AM360. And we have some wonderful intellectuals on the program, wonderful passionate people in their careers, and some expertise that we can all benefit from. This afternoon, we want to highlight the Cheryl Sutter. We call her the Honorable Cheryl Sutter because she does so much in so many different capacities for the community. I'm going to try to summarize her bio. It is quite extensive, so bear with your brother. By the grace of Allah, it is Ramadan and the latter Saturday. Since Allah blessed us to have more life in 24, we would do more in 24, listen more, learn more, give more, love more. Let's thank Allah for giving us life in 24 and do the best you can with the life he's given you. And only he provides you life, security, and blessings from on high. But our special guest, Sister Cheryl Sutter. Ms. Cheryl Sutter is a senior government contract professional, international negotiator, mediator, regulator, and compliance officer with nearly 30 years of business and legal experience, serving on a broad array of senior leadership roles in the commercial, private, and public sectors. A University of Illinois alum in cellular and molecular biology and biochemistry, Cheryl is an internationalist, potentialist, and a committed, proactive environmental scientist. As a scientist and negotiator who has closed deals from Silicon Valley to Paris, London, Munich, Sydney, and Columbia to D.C., delivering solutions is one of the things she does best. The current contract service manager for AC Transit, she has previously led global negotiations and contracting for Matson Technology, and Siebel negotiating multi-million-dollar, multinational, multilingual agreements and training international sales teams, earning her numerous awards and recognitions. She has a saying here that I must share with you. Only when the last tree has died and the last river has been poisoned and the last fish has been caught will we realize we cannot eat money. That's a Native American proverb. That's a part of her bio, which is so meaningful, especially given the climate we're living in today, the political toxic climate. Her bio continues, whether through fights to hold local companies and refineries accountable for the damage they have caused on polluting our air, soil, water, food, and despairingly harming our fence line and frontline communities, or exposing the unsafe living conditions in Richmond public housing, which led to the ongoing battle to relocate residents to safe, clean, and affordable quality housing with working water and sanitation systems, or one of the leaders of a successful advocacy to Bay Area Air Quality Management District to pass the nation's most stringent and health protective air regulations and GHG reduction measures, or successfully lobbying local and state government to mandate use of renewable energy sources, fuels, and energy-efficient or electric vehicles, or successfully lobbying state or local government entities to incorporate non-red meat menus in official meetings, events to underscore water scarcity and commitment to conservation, or helping to lead public education efforts or working on the Richmond and Oakland Resilient by Design teams on ways to protect our need of more resources and opportunities to thrive. Cheryl has worked in earnest collaboration with other community leaders and organizations, labor groups, and systems operators to affect many transformational changes in our environmental, economic, educational, housing, health, and other systems that reflect our collaborative values. If all she does, she endeavors to keep the people's work foremost, realizing it is always about the people. Director Sudith was first elected to the West County Water Waste District Board in 2018, re-elected in 2022, and currently serves as board president as well as chair of the affiliated West County Agency joint partnership with the City of Richmond. I'm going to go down to some of the many awards she's received. I must also say that she's one of the co-hosts of a very growing program on AM 360 entitled MAP 5, Muslim American Power 5, featured every Monday, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. So please tune in to MAP 5 on Mondays to hear from your sister Cheryl Sudith, and two other co-hosts on the program. Let me go down to some of the many awards she's received. I won't read all of them, but I'll give you an idea of the level of commitment this sister has to the community. A 2022 fellow with Water Educators for Latino Leaders and 2022 Latinos in Transit LIT fellow. She is well-established, respected leader with expertise in water, infrastructure, transportation, and the environment. He was recently elected as the Northern California Vice Chair of the CADEM, CADEM Environmental Caucus 2023. She's also an appointed commissioner with Contra Costa Racial Justice Director, Treasurer, California African American Water Education Fund, CAWEF 2023, Board Director, San Francisco Muslim Community Center, 2018, appointed NAACP, CA California, Statewide Women in the Movement Committee, called WIN, in 2022. She regularly volunteers with many community organizations, including CARE, Black Women Organized for Political Action, as co-chair of Political Education Committee, California Women Lead, Indigenous Women Warriors, Black Women in Science and Engineering, Association of Women in Science, Women in Water and Wastewater, Association of Women in Water, Water Education for Latino Leaders, Women in Energy and Environmental, Latinos in Transit. And of course, the list goes on and on and on. That just gives you a flavor of the in-depth commitment that the Honorable Director, Sister Cheryl Sudith, has to the community. And we hope and pray that indeed she will join us. You can hear directly from her during the course of this program. If not, you got a little taste of the mind behind the voice when it comes to one of our co-hosts, the Honorable Sister Cheryl Sudith. And if you see her come online, please let me know so I can bring her on properly. That gives you, brothers and sisters, just an idea of the level of commitment that we have in our sister. And we're very honored to have her as a co-host of MAP 5.
Yes.
Did I hear her come on?
I don't see her on. I don't see her on yet. I did send another information. I know she said she was traveling, but she would be at home and be able to do that. So I don't see her on yet. Oh, boy.
Yes.
Imam Yusuf,
okay.
If you're on, press 1 to get in the queue. I don't see him on either.
Okay, we'll go ahead and read
right.
His bio anyway. We'll continue with the bio.
Okay.
Some things happen. You know, Allah is always in charge. Allah is always in charge. So we will continue with the bio of our second highlighted host for this afternoon, and that is Brother Imam Yusuf Ramadan. And here's his bio, another very dedicated brother in our community. Imam Yusuf Ramadan has served as the resident imam of the historic Masjid Nur al-Din and the Director of Education for the Clara Muhammad School of Queens, New York, since 2000, upon the death of his predecessor, Imam Qasim Bakr-Din. The property was originally purchased by El-Hajj Malik of Shabazz, better known as Malcolm X. Imam Ramadan previously taught English, Islamic studies, and social studies at the Clara Muhammad School of Queens for 10 years, from 1980 to 1990, while serving as the security director for the school and masjid. Imam Ramadan worked as a Muslim chaplain for the New York State Department of Correctional Services from 1995 to 2001. He also served as a Muslim chaplain at New York Medical Center of Queens for 1 year. Imam Ramadan has worked as a security consultant for over 300 feature films and television shows and provided security services and products to schools, colleges, and municipal housing authorities for over 20 years. He has been a member of the community and student of the late Islamic leader Imam Waqif bin Muhammad for 35 years. Imam Ramadan served for 2 years as the Northeast Regional Convener of Imams, 2010 to 2012, in association with the leadership of Imam Waqif bin Muhammad. He is the host of New Day for All Islam in America, radio show of WPAT, 9:30 a.m., in the New York City and metropolitan area, and on American Muslim 360 Block Talk Radio. He is married to Majida Ramadan, an educator for 46 years. They have two children and live in New Rochelle, New York. So you can see we have two very distinguished hosts been spotlighted this afternoon. We pray that if Allah permits, they will join us. But if not, we give you an idea of the mind behind the voice on these two distinguished hosts on AM 360. That been, of course, our sister Cheryl Suda and, of course, Imam Yusuf Ramadan, two very distinguished persons in their professions. And we're so thankful that Allah has allowed them to be a part of this network of AM 360. I want to also comment on the appeal for support for AM 360. You know, as I stated earlier, Allah has blessed us to be in 2024 only by His grace and mercy. I was given $9.99 as a monthly contribution. I'm going to increase that to $10 a month. It's not a whole lot, but it's a little bit more. I have to call in my new card number to make that happen. But inshallah, we'll do that before the sun goes down today. But brothers and sisters, we need to give because Allah has given us so much. Let's show some appreciation. Let's show some gratitude. Let's show that we really, really care about the growth of our community by giving what you can. If you can't give 10, you know, give 2. If you can't give 2, give 1. But give something just to maintain the success of our program because it's very, very important. In this climate we're in today, we need to stay in touch with each other on a regular basis. We need to highlight the gift that Allah has given us of a balanced perspective on our religion, a balanced perspective on our religion, not going to the extreme on either direction, but having a balanced perspective on religion by the grace of Almighty God through the tafsir of Imam Waqif bin Muhammad, who led us for 33 years, brothers and sisters, sacrificed much, gave us unlimited knowledge that we can live on for 1,000 years, so we should elevate his knowledge base to the world of love because we really, really need it.
Fleming, we have Imam Yusuf Ramadan that's on. I'm going to open his mic, okay? Inshallah.
All right. Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Imam.
Wa alaykum as-salam. We're rocking to the Barakatuh and a belated Eid Mubarak to all.
Alhamdulillah. Eid Mubarak to you too, Brother Imam. We read your bio earlier. I hope you were able to hear some of it. If not, I can highlight it again for the listening audience.
No, that's not necessary. Don't believe everything you hear.
But Brother Mom, we try to give you a chance to just share more of the mind behind the voice on these spotlights. So feel free to start in that direction. Get to know more about the mind of Imam Yusuf Ramadan for our listening audience. You take it away from there, there, brother.
Well, I just would want to add to that bio, of course, one of my most important roles is I'm also the grandfather of Mansa Musa, who is the light of our life. And I'm with him down here in Atlanta. In fact, we're on the way taking him to the museum. You know, he's
a...
Walaikum as-salam.
Walaikum as-salam.
Can you hear me? Everyone hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. We can hear you, yes, sir.
Yeah, so, yeah, we were blessed after we did the prayer in New York. We jumped right on the plane and came right down here and joined them, the Muslims in Atlanta. And we're here for the Jummah Friday. And they had Eid festivities as well after Jummah. And then we, yesterday, we attended a very large Eid celebration at a park that they had with various, there was thousands of Muslims there, men, women, and children. And it was very, very wonderful, very wonderful. They had plenty of activities for the children, which is something that, you know, we don't really pay as much attention to as we probably should. And that is that it's their Eid too. So we have to make sure that they enjoy themselves and they have gifts and that they're not feeling deprived when they see their other friends and fellow students, et cetera, getting their gifts for their holidays, Christmas and other holidays that they celebrate. And we celebrate Eid, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, and we should make it festive and enjoyable for the entire family, especially the children, so that they'll have something to look forward to. And remember, when they get older, and give them another incentive of understanding the significance of our way of life. It was very, very enjoyable.
Yeah, we have a special connection with the Atlanta community. My wife went to Spelman College back in the 70s, so at that time I was trying to convince her to take my hand, so I was down there quite a bit. She finally said yes, and 50 years later, by the grace of Allah, we'll stay together with 13 grandkids, and we have 5 adult children, 1 returned back to Allah, but we thank Allah for his life as well. So those grandkids, yeah, special being that Allah brings to Allah, so you keep taking them to the museum, enjoy him every moment. And it's so important what you said about the children being celebrated during Eid. You know, the Masjid in Washington, D.C. does a fantastic job. They have almost a week-long of activities focused religious on the children. And we have to do that. You know, we have to keep their interest level and give them the respect they deserve because they, too, are a living testimony on the greatness of Allah. So we got to respect that. I didn't mean to catch up. It just came to me, Brother Imam. Hope you don't mind me sharing that.
I appreciate that observation, and, you know, culture. The Imam taught us about the 4 birds, you know, when Ibrahim, alayhi salam, you know, was asking Allah, how do you recreate life after death? And Allah told him to train 4 birds and put them on 4 different mountaintops and then call them, and they would all come to him. And this is how Allah explained it to him, you know. So you have to have those elements of course, religion and government and business and culture. If you don't have a culture, and this is what the Imam was trying to establish for us, if you don't have your own culture, then you will glom onto other people's culture, whether it be their cultural dress. And, you know, they were having a conversation with my daughter and another young sister who is like a niece to me, which is the Amory, which is the actress and singer, very popular, and she recently took Shahada. So she's been attending Masjid here with my daughter and my son and grandson and her son as well. And, you know, she was talking to me about performing, and people were telling her, of course, that music is haram. And there was one brother that was telling me online that Islam is built upon 2 things, the Quran and the Hadith. Well, I told him that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually said that I leave with you two things, that if you hold on to them, you won't go astray, and that is the Quran and my Sunnah. He didn't say Hadith. Mm. The Hadith and the Sunnah are very closely related, but they are not the same. The Hadith is the report of the Sunnah. And Allah asked a rhetorical question in the Quran, and what better Hadith, what better report will you find than this Quran? And, of course, the answer is you won't. You won't find a better Hadith or a better. And so I was explaining to him there's nowhere in the Quran that it forbids music. And he said, but you're ignoring the Hadith. And I was trying to explain to him that the Hadith is in certain categories, from Sahih, which is sound, Hasan, which is good, but not on the same level as Sahih, all the way down to Da'if, which is weak. And the Quran is not in those categories. It's only in one category as the pure word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either you believe that or you don't. If you don't believe that the Quran is the pure word of Allah, then you're not a Muslim. Okay, so you can't compare the Hadith and the Quran. They can't be compared. But in the Sharia, you have primary and secondary sources. The Quran is the primary source. Those other sources are secondary. And if the Hadith fails to agree with the Quran, then you need to discard it.
Yes, sir. Okay?
There's no way in the world that you can have a Hadith that does not co-sign Allah's word, period. And if it doesn't, then it's not to be accepted. So
yes,
those, my daughter was also engaged in them. They said to her, your culture has nothing to do with religion. Okay? And you mean to tell me that you can listen to Miles Davis and listen to Charlie Parker and listen to Aretha Franklin and listen to Whitney Houston and come to the conclusion that they're going to the hellfire? You're telling me that Allah blessed them with those talents, those God-given talents, and that that they're never to be heard by us because it's sinful, it's haram? That's ridiculous. The most
absolutely, Brother Imam.
And if you believe that, you believe it, but I don't. And you're not going to impose your belief on me. So
I'm sorry, go ahead, Brother Imam.
I hate to go off of giving you a cook bar, but you know.
you do exactly what Allah inspires you to do. It just reminded me, I just happened to be in Chicago between 1974 and 76, teaching our school. And so I was, blessed to be interviewed by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad at his home. And before I left, the Honorable Esteemed Martin Muhammad invited me to come over and bring my students so he could congratulate them for, graduating that year from school. But I remember very succinctly one of the early lectures he gave us, the Kudwa. He talked about he wanted us to really study those 40 hadiths closely and don't get tied down in the others because there's some quicksand. If you just get tied down to those hadiths like that, but just study that close, and also study those further, the four caliphs who, followed Prophet Muhammad when he passed back to Allah, and see what happened on that sphere of time. He was really preparing us for our existence in America. So I hope people take that to heart. You have the Holy Quran as the authority. You have the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, the secondary source. And those hadiths is like third level. And some of those, as you said, really have to be challenged. But we should never, never forget our unique culture that Allah has brought us up in. I remember my great-grandmother telling me some very simple things that I still remember today. Every eye closed ain't shut, and every goodbye ain't gone. Well, I would have put $1 million on the wisdom behind that. And she lived to be 105 years of age. So you can't ignore your culture because it's rooted in our life experiences. And we should always respect that and honor that going forward, inshallah.
That's right.
So I noticed that you worked a lot in security in the city of New York. Are you still engaged in that these days, or have you moved on to another sphere of life?
Well, that's something I could never give up. I'm still on my mission to get us to focus on security now for our masajid and our schools, with all of the, there was a shooting.
at the Eid over there and down in Philadelphia.
Yes, sir, I saw that.
You know, so we can't forget our you know, when we used to check people, search people coming in to the mosque, they said we were crazy. They said these Muslims are crazy. These are some crazy Muslims. Mm-hmm. And now you can't go nowhere without them searching. You understand? So we were ahead of our time, and we weren't trying to be offensive to anybody, or we weren't hurting anybody. We just wanted to make sure you weren't coming there to hurt us.
Exactly.
You know, so we were ahead of our time, and I see, you know, we had the imam that was, you know, tragically assassinated in Newark when he came to the Fajr prayer. You know, we can't tolerate this. This is something that we can't tolerate. This is not our background. It's not our history. And we have to be vigilant. We have to be vigilant. The imam, in his wisdom, he termed the security services community services so that it wouldn't have that shine or that patina of something that's a military or paramilitary. So you can call things one thing, and you know what you call it is important, but what's more important is what the essence of it is, what the contents of it is. So we, you know, in certain things from the past, the imam said we shouldn't give up. We had the FOI, you know what I mean? He said we can't get rid of everything from the past. The imam said my hands are from the past. Should I get rid of my hands? You know, that's no. There's certain things that we can never give up. We can't. Police can't do but so much. The police can only do what they can do, and we are not children. We're not going to totally turn our safety and security of our families and our children over to other people. No, we're never going to do that.
Yeah, I remember that we used to have BAP when I was in Chicago for a while. After Mayor Muhammad came into the leadership, somewhat of an extension of our new focus with a new image in the community, but that's still a need even today, and every masjid, every center should have a security protocol in place and practice on a regular basis, because you got to respond to the environment that you're in. Even in the town of Prophet Muhammad, you know, some of the guys would keep their weapons on them in Salat. You know, somebody's always behind watching while others prayed, and that's a part of the culture also in that regard as well. So you don't take things for granted. You don't lose your protocol. You be sincere. You pray to Allah with sincerity, but you watch those who may do you harm, you know. That's just common sense. Common sense, you have to carry that forward. It's just, as you're doing, really, Mom. And we thank you for your work in that area. Are you still involved in the chaplain work, Brother Mom?
No, I haven't been doing that for a while. I've worked in the New York State Department of Correctional Services for about 6 years. And then I did chaplaincy with the hospital chaplaincy in New York. We had our fundraiser last Saturday for Masjid Nuruddin to try to help us get back into the masjid. You know, we had the fire, and we still haven't gotten into our property. We still own the property, alhamdulillah. But we're working hard, diligently. We're never giving up. We know we're going to be successful to get the believers back into that property. And, you know, so I haven't had an opportunity to really do chaplaincy. I mean, once in a while, they'll call me over to the hospital if there's a special emergency type situation. But no, I haven't worked. I was saying that our fundraiser, Imam Yusuf Hassan, I was in the masjid with two of our pioneers that have passed on, Imam Qasim Bakruddin, Rahimullah Alayh, and Imam Ali Rashid. May Allah forgive him his sins and grant him the paradise. It was just us. Well, it was us four, myself and Imam Hassan, in the masjid. And you know, a European American came and knocked on the door and said he wanted to talk to us, and he was looking for Muslim chaplains. You know, and he didn't have any Muslim chaplains in the city of New York, and they wanted to start get him into the chaplaincy program for the hospitals. And myself and Brother Hassan, Imam Yusuf Hassan, he went first, and then I went to do some training, and I worked in New York Hospital Medical Center of Queens for about a year, and I also worked in St. St. Rose Hospital, which had a terminal unit. So it was a very eye opening experience, and you know, I'm grateful to Allah that for the things that I was able to learn, you know, during
yes,
that
sir.
Period and be of service. You know, that's what we do, you know, to be of service to those who are in need.
Well, Brother Muhammad, is there a way that those who would like to make a contribution toward the building there at the masjid, do you have a GoFundMe site set up, or how can we help in that regard?
Yes, we have Launch Good. I'm glad you asked us that. We have Launch Good, which is the Muslim version of the GoFundMe, and Launch Good, and you can just put in Masjid Nuruddin Building, and it'll come up. Masjid Nuruddin, Nuriddin Building.
Yes, sir.
And that campaign will come up.
I hope you're listening, radio listening audience. We are blessed to be alive in 24, so let's give more, learn more, listen more, and do more, inshallah, in 24. But Brother Juan, we had another guest. We have not seen her on the green board here, so we're going to let you use this time the way you want to use it. So let's. I know you said you're taking your grandson to the museum. Are you en route to take him there?
Yeah, they're waiting for me. They're leaving a little late as usual, but it's not too far. It's not too far from where we are. And, you know, he's kind of unique in that regard. 7 years old, going to the museum is usually imposed upon children, but this is his request. So
that's right.
He wants to go to the museum. And so we definitely want to encourage his continuing his education.
You know, I had my grandkids down there at the aquarium not too long ago, in fact. My wife had the 50th reunion from graduating from Spelman, so we brought quite a few of the grandkids and took them to the aquarium and other places. We hadn't been to quite a while in that. She used to teach on there, number 15 at that time, long time ago.
It's a wonderful aquarium, and he knows that place like the back of his head.
Oh, wow. That's a good stimulus for thinking, you know.
Yes,
it's amazing.
He really
yes,
enjoys
sir.
That. He was asking me to take him back to the, he called it the Dinosaur Museum, but the Museum of Natural History, which is in New York City, which we have taken him to. And he you know, we used to take our children there, and but they weren't requesting to go. we used to take him, but that's actually where he wants to go.
You got to let him. Let him feed his appetite, you know, especially at that age. One of my grandkids is out there in California going to college. You know, one is in New York. Like the one in California is going to become almost, I think it's a degree specifically in theater and filmmaking, et cetera, at Loyola out there. The other one's in New York going to design school for design. Those are my two older grandkids. But, you know, open the way for them. We have to let them pursue interest levels so they can do the best they can academically. So I was a little concerned with them going so far, but the data does in Maryland. So he said, well, data, they want to go there. So I said, just keep on doing it. It's still yours, no matter where they go.
That's right.
So
that's right. I'm very grateful to you all for inviting me to be with you and to share some things that we've been blessed to accomplish. I got one of my I call him my grandson. He's my actually my grandnephew. He's my cousin's he's my cousin's grandson, and he's reaching out to me now. So I'm gonna see if I can
take care of him.
See if I can help.
Take care
out.
Of him. Yes, sir. We want to thank you again, Brother Mom, for coming on the program. We invite everyone to listen to New Day for Al-Islam in America, radio show on American Muslim 360. And what day does that come on, Brother Mom, again, please?
We're on Thursdays at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, please look out for us on Launch Good. You just go to Launch, launchgood.com, and it'll ask you what campaign you want to support. You put in Masjid Nuruddin Building, and it should come right up, and we thank you for the opportunity to make that announcement.
And thank you again. And brothers and sisters, we've been listening to, I would say, the same Imam Yusuf Ramadan, who's the host on New Day for Al-Islam in America radio show on AM 360, Block Talk Radio.
And we thank you again, Brother Mom, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
Well,
you share quite a bit with us. Alhamdulillah.
May
yes, sir.
Bless AM360 and CWSC. Without this platform, I don't know where we would be. This platform is invaluable. We get an opportunity to express our points of view from the Islamic perspective, as we say on our show. And the Islamic perspective is and always should be the human perspective. So we pray that you have a blessed day. You and your families be safe. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. And the same to you, Brother Mom.
All right, Clement. I do not see Cheryl. I did reach out to her again. I know she said she was traveling, and she may not. She still may be traveling. So, inshallah, I don't think that she'll be able to be on. We'll try to get her, inshallah, another time maybe to interview her. So, I don't think she'll be on today. So we can conclude if you wish. I don't know. It's up to
all
you
right.
What you would like to do, Brother Eman. I mean, Brother Elamine.
You're trying to give me that title. I'm Brother Fleming. All right.
That's what I said. I said Brother Elamine. Did you hear me say Brother Elamine? I was trying to say, man, I was getting ready to give you the title. You've been working so hard. I was getting ready to say, Imam Elamine, but I'm going to say Brother Elamine. You ain't even claim to be Imam. I'm going to go on and say, Brother Elamine. So did you want to conclude now, Fleming?
Yes, let's go ahead and do that, Sister Latifa, and thank our radio listening audience for joining us again for Spotlight on AM360. And inshallah, we'll do this again. I think the second Sunday next month, is that correct?
Yes.
Same time, same place. And we thank you for listening. May Allah continue to bless you and your family and shower you with immeasurable blessings. Until we meet again, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. And thank you, listening audience. Thank you, Brother Fleming, for taking time as well, inshallah. Stay tuned for Keeping It Real with Lou Princess Aziz. She'll be on, inshallah, at 4 o'clock. Eastern Standard Time from 4 to 5, and then 5 to 7, we have Contemplations of Imam Warf D. Muhammad with Imam Kareem Hamid and Michael Hamid. So stay tuned. We'll be back here in about 20 minutes or so for, 20 minutes for Blue Princess Aziz. So thank you so much, and inshallah, we'll see you at that time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And have a most pleasant rest of the evening.